They say there is no I in team. They say that coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. And working together is a success. Together, we can serve our neighbor. Together, we can unify our community. Together, we can be light in the dark. Together, we can. We need each other. We rely on each other. We hold on to each other. Let's do this together.
All right, if you can get the lights for me. So how many of you know that we have a former head football coach in our midst? Does anybody know that?
I knew that.
Yeah? So he's even standing up. Wow. Yeah. So I had a question for you, Matt, being the wise football coach. If your quarterback's line is not doing their job, what tends to happen to the quarterback?
He usually ends up in the training
room. Yeah, he gets sacked. And if the line, like, who's the most important person in the line for the quarterback's defense? Is there any one particular role?
They made the movie about the blind side, the left tackle.
So. So if game day, the left tackle just says, you know what, I don't really feel like doing the game this week and just not going to show up, how would you as a head coach feel?
Very compromised.
Yes. He might not be playing the next game, right, or something. So there's an element of a team where every member is important. I think we see it on the football field. So I didn't get a chance to watch many of the games yesterday, but maybe you have a favorite team. I remember I was talking to some of the guys came up from South Carolina, and I said, is football big down there? And they just kind of laughed. You know, they're like, Clemson? You know. So this is the time of year that many people are thinking about football. I know I do fantasy football. Does anybody do that? Where you have the little app and you make your team up. No one does that. Wow. We got one or two. And there's been a few weeks where I didn't keep on my team, and somebody was on the bench, and they were still in my team on there. And guess what that did to my fantasy football that week? Yeah. And, you know, last week my brother, I was playing their team, and we just got absolutely crushed because their defense was, I think it was Philadelphia, and they usually defense will only score like 11 points, and they scored 39, so they pretty much rocked my world. So their defense showed up. That left tackle showed up, and they did their job. So we've been looking this fall. Does anybody remember the theme for this year? Growing down into God's grace. And I know some folks have said, you know, that seems sort of counterintuitive. Aren't we supposed to grow up? And I have this hard time with this idea of growing down. And just to unpack that for you, where we grow is what we draw up. So we're talking about the foundational issues, and one of our core values here at Grace Fellowship is grace. And what we've really thought about is that is the foundational issue for all the other things. If we don't get God's grace, if we don't have a firm foundation in God's grace, if we're not growing down into God's grace, everything else will kind of fall apart. We will eventually become either legalistic on one side or compromising on the other. If we don't grow down into who God is and His grace, it will compromise us. Yesterday at the men's retreat, who all was able to go to that? Was that a good teaching time? And I'd like to unpack some of those things later in this year, but one of the things that he talked about is our view of God as Father And then our perception of us as sons, and I would say daughters, because we have women here today, affects everything we do and how we use our gifts. And I'm talking today a little bit about the nature of the church and the body nature. And so what I really want to emphasize, though, is if you and I have a wrong view of God as Father, and that is often affected by our earthly fathers, we talked about that, and I see Tom Russell nodding. Tom had said this is in his wheelhouse. So if you have, as I'm talking, you realize I have some issues, father issues, which I think about every one of us does, I would encourage you to hit Tom up and talk to him about that. He could give you some good resources to help work through those things. But if we have a wrong view of our fathers, you know, our fathers maybe did things that give us a wrong view of God, we sometimes have to work at that being transformed. And maybe we had a great father, but it still is a journey for us because God's the only perfect father, right? Even if you have had a good father, a great father, they did not do it perfectly. Only God is the perfect Heavenly Father. And so we're talking about this idea of grace, and we're doing a series now of belonging, and it's talking about this idea of belonging to a church, a church membership. And this is not membership in a country club. This is not a library card, membership to the library, or for those of us that remember VHS and DVDs, Blockbuster membership, remember? And we're not going to fine you if you don't turn in that video on time. But what this is being part of a family. Saying, I am part of this family. I am showing up. Or being part of a team, like we saw up there. And we've looked at this need for belonging. We've looked at the mandate of belonging. We've looked at the goal of belonging. And last week, the challenge of belonging. And this week, we're going to talk about the nature of belonging. So if you haven't been here for all these things and you have questions about belonging and membership, I encourage you, Andy has put those faithfully up on our church website, A People for God. You can check those out and catch up if you're feeling like you're not in sync with where we're at. And as we look at this idea of the nature of belonging, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. And this has a lot to say about this idea of the nature of belonging. And if I was to summarize this passage, I would say this: grow down in belonging by being interdependent. Grow down in belonging by being interdependent. And Kay Vega is going to read this passage for us today. There we go. So adjust that to whatever height you need. Thank you.
Okay, again, this is... Hello? Okay, am I on? All right. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our presentable that are, I'm losing this. We bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it.
Thank you, Kay. Sometimes Paul has, he uses the same words over and over. I think of that, well, I don't do what I want to do, what I do, you know. So it's a hard one to read. It is. So thank you, Kay, for wrestling through that. So the nature of belonging is interdependence. It's about being part of a whole. And as we seek to unpack this passage, we're going to do this so in three ways. First, we do this by remembering that our gifts are given by God. And we remember that our gifts are given for the common good. And third, our gifts are needed. Okay, so let's go into that first one. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 12. As you look at this first aspect, I would say this: grow down in interdependence by remembering that your gifts are given by God. We didn't read verse 11, but as I was getting this ready, we had already put out that it was 12 through 27. But if you look with me at verse 11, it really unpacks this just a tad more. It says, all these, and it's talking about the various spiritual gifts, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So it goes on then to just talk about that we are all one body and we all drink from the same Spirit. But it's saying he gives them out as he wills. So the gifts you have, who you are, all that is given from God. It really is not up to you in a sense. Now, I remember, I've used this analogy before, but it fits so well here, I'll use it again. When I was in basketball, I remember one time our coach kind of sat down to us, and we had some star players on the team, which I was not one of them. But he said, you know, some of you might think you're pretty good at basketball, he said, but I want you to remember that whatever you are, it's all those coaches in elementary, your parents and others that have poured into you that makes you who you are. You are not who you are just because of you. All right? And God has poured into each of us as he willed. He's given each of us what he wants. Did you know that there is no one else in the history of the world who is exactly like you? Have you ever thought about that? No one else in the history of the world is exactly like you. Thank goodness, right? For some of us. God has put you in this point of history with the various gifts and mixes in you for a very specific purpose. You are unique. I want you just to ponder that for a second. You know, we sometimes look at, you hear about snowflakes, and you during the winter you think, how many have fallen? I've heard it said that snowflakes, each one is unique. Yet there's so many, it kind of blows your mind that each one would be unique. And you think of all the billions of people in this world, all the billions of people that have lived through history, he has made you unique, fearfully and wonderfully made. We have that side of things, but then we have the side that we are part of a whole. We as Americans, we love to feel like we're unique. It's one of the values. We have this idea called individualism. Has anybody heard of that before? Individualism. Now, when it goes off the rails, it has in recent years, we get so individualistic that we feel like we have even the right to determine what gender we are. Right? That's individualism off the rails. But Satan likes to taint those things, but God has made you unique, but not unto yourself. He has given you these things. I remember hearing a while back that William Shatner, they were doing an interview with him, and he was the opposite. He's like, I've earned this. I have done this. I have made my career. And it was a hard interview to listen to because it was so arrogant and it was so contrary to what this was. But we as Americans often think of that, the self-made person, right? We watch TV, you see the businessman that started with $50 and made millions. We value that idea, and there is a value for hard work and ingenuity and creativity, but none of us is a self-made man or woman. So we start with that. If we don't get that, we're going to get the rest wrong. That's the foundation here that Paul's laying in terms of the unity and diversity of the body, if we don't realize that steward of everything God's given me, you know, it changes. If you think you own all your stuff versus that you're a steward of it, it changes how you relate to it. I remember in college there was a woman, and she let me borrow her car once. And I was so amazed because I was not used to people letting me borrow their car. And it was, I think it was for a homecoming or something, and I did not have a car that year. And so she wanted me to, she was my boss in the admissions office, and she wanted me to be able to take my date to homecoming. And I remember asking her, wow, why are you so free with your car? And she said to me, you know, it's not my car, it's God's car. And I saw a need, and I wanted to bless you. You know, and so if we have this idea that all of our stuff comes from God and all of it's going to go back somewhere else, we will have a stewardship idea, and it will change versus an ownership idea. If I say, all this is for God's glory, it all belongs to Him. My gifts, my resources, my family, my time is not mine. It's God's, and I'm going to steward it. That will lead to us growing down into this idea of interdependence. So the question is, are you in a cup mentality or a spring mentality? I'm not talking about a spring in a bed, but a spring like that's down by Malabar, a water spring. A lot of us have this cup mentality. I've got my little bit, and I'm going to hold on to it because if I give it away, it's going to be gone. My cup only holds this much, so if I pour it out, I won't have anything for me or mine. So I'm not going to pour it out. Versus a spring says, there's an unlimited aquifer under here. And I know down at Malabar, they just give the water away. You know, a lot of times you pay for it at the store, but it's free because there's so much of it. And so, you know, the Bible speaks of that, that He'll make in us a spring of living water flowing up out of us. And there's illustrations in the prophets of this river starting in the temple, and it goes out and it gets bigger and deeper out from there. And what does the Bible say? You and I are God's what? We're His temple, right? So there's an illustration of that, that it's coming out of us. And if we have a spring mentality that this all comes from God and that we are a conduit of God's love, His blessing to others, it's going to change how we interdepend on one another. So the question is, are you stuck in a cup mentality or a spring mentality? Are you seeking to hold on to the little that you have or freely blessing others, knowing that God is going to give more to you and bless more through you as you bless others? So that leads us to the second point today. Not only do we grow down in interdependence by remembering that our gifts are given by God, secondly, grow down in interdependence by remembering that your gifts are for the common good. Your gifts are for the common good. Look with me at verses 14 to 20. This is where he starts talking about this illustration of a body. And just I want you to kind of look at your hands, maybe feel your ears. You've got a nose. Maybe you don't like your nose. Mine's okay, but I hear it gets bigger as you get older. Is that true, right? Right? It just keeps growing. The ears do. Start getting hair where you don't want it. Is there a part of your body you're not really satisfied with? Maybe all of us could say, I really like this part, but I don't like that part. This part maybe has a little bit too much weight to it. You know, we think about our bodies. You might have certain parts that you like better than others. But this idea of growing down in interdependence by remembering that your gifts are for the common good, we see this idea emerge in there. Are many parts, but each part plays its own function for the rest of the body. Now, some might say there's those vestigial parts that are of no use. I remember I got my appendix out some years ago, and I'm still functioning without that appendix. And I'm sure years from now, maybe I could ask Dr. Tim here, but there's probably a reason for that appendix. We don't know. But, you know, tonsils as well, they do serve a purpose. But sometimes you can live without these. I've heard of people getting their gallbladders out, and they still eat pretty normally. They don't have to take a lot of medication. But there's a purpose for all of them. You lose your heart, you're probably not going to be living very long. Some of them seem more important than others, but they're all there for a reason. Each part is contributing. And he's saying here, you know, this idea in 19 and 20, if all the parts were a single member, where would the body be? And, you know, it kind of does this part where one part's saying, I wish I were an eye. If everything was an eye, you'd have this huge eyeball walking around. It would be like one of those monsters from, you know, these various things we see. But he's saying that each part has its role. And think about, once again, going back to the football team analogy. If everybody's a left tackle, Matt, you don't have a quarterback. If everybody's trying to be a quarterback or everyone's trying to be the team captain, it results in chaos. Each team member needs to know their role and do it well. And when on a football team, everybody's doing their role well, it's a finely oiled machine, it's a sight to behold. Have you ever had a team do that where you were just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, and thinking about that, that's a great analogy, but you've all seen American Idol where that person comes up and they think they're a great singer, those initial auditions, and they need someone to say, maybe you should pursue a different thing. You're a worthwhile individual, but you're not a great singer, you know. Or maybe the person says, my dad says I'm a great quarterback, Mr. Gotzel. I want to be quarterback, and they can't hit the broadside of a barn. You're like, maybe we'll put you in left tackle. Tight end, something like that. So we all, in a body, we need each other because sometimes we don't have an accurate view of ourselves. As you get around others, and if you think you're great at this, that this is your gift, God-given gift, as I talked about, that was given for the common good, and many others are saying, I'm not sure about that. No, they're all wrong, and I'm right. Don't we usually do that? No. We need this idea of submitting to one another, realizing this is not just for my good, this is for the common good. So what is your function? That is something you will learn as you begin to serve, but also as you get input from others. And that's a role I would encourage us to take. Are we encouraging what we see? Are we calling out things? If you see someone and they're doing something and it is bearing fruit and you say, wow, that is a great thing in them. Do you ever point that out? Do you have your eyes open to encourage people and help them to steer towards that place of that sweet spot for them in the body? That's one role. And we're going to go nicely now to this idea of we've looked at we have things given by God. They're given for the common good, not just for ourselves, but to bless others. Thirdly, grow down in interdependence by remembering that your gifts are needed. Verses 21 through 27 talks about this, that every part is needed. Not only is every part for the common good of the body, but verse 23 says that each part is indispensable. Have you realized that you're needed? Do you realize that? That you're needed? That you are valuable? That you're indispensable? There's another step from being there for the common good and then realizing that you're needed. God has created you fearfully and wonderfully. And when you are not functioning in the way God has called you to function, the body is not going to function as well. You are indispensable. You are needed. If this whole church is made of eyes, where's the sense of hearing? If it's all ears, where's the touch? Where's the smell? That each part is needed to function. So, are you playing your part? This is about so much more than just you. It's about all those parts functioning. And what the enemy would seek to do is isolate us. Imagine if I'd come out here, I was thinking about this, but I didn't have time. But if I had thrown on a jersey and I came up here and I said, I'm going to be my own basketball team. And I go against this whole other team. How well do you think I'm going to do? Even if I was Michael Jordan, all I have to do is spread it out. I can't cover all five of them. And yet in our hyper-individualistic society, many people say, I'm my own church. I'm just going to watch a video at home as a sermon and do my own thing. But they're trying to be a team, but they're by themselves. God said, we are to be a body. We need each other. We can't do this on our own. And so, do you come to church with this realization that God has given you gifts, they're for the common good, and that you are needed? And do you say, God, open my eyes today about how you want to use me? What part you want me to play today? Do you want me to say a word of encouragement? Is there someone that needs prayer? There's many different things. I can't cover them all here, but do you come saying, okay, God, what are my marching orders for today? Or are you just coming like a little bird saying, I want to be fed, I want to be fed, I want to be fed? No, it's so much more than that. Yes, there is a meal here, but there's a lot that goes into a meal. We're not just little birds getting a worm. This is a time we're ministering. That's why we encourage you to be part of Circle Church, to minister to one another. And I hope it branches out from Sunday, that you're able to encourage each other throughout the week and to pour into one another. You're not just coming to be fed, but to feed others, to encourage others, to be interdependent with others. And one thing we were praying for this morning before the service, interdependence is hard, because either some of us like to be independent or dependent. Interdependent is a combination of the two. It's recognizing there's going to be times where I need something from you. Some of us that are givers, we don't like ever receiving. Is anybody in that boat? It's really hard to receive. But some of us, if we only like receiving, it's hard for us to step up and give. Interdependence says both of these things are going to be happening, and we have to be ready for that all the time. So it humbles everyone, because the giver is humbled because they need to receive. The receiver is humbled because they need to give. It's this ongoing interdependence, realizing I have something to offer you, but I need something from you as well. Interdependence. So, are you asking this, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Who would you have me to bless? Who would you have me to serve? That is the nature of the church. You are all ministers of blessing to one another, and you can make a huge difference today if you will operate in that truth. And so we're going to watch this video in closing that will wrap this all up, and then I'll close this in prayer. So Ethan, if you could cue that up, and Janet, if you could get the lights, please. Or Steve.
This week, some have experienced success and joy. Others have experienced challenge and heartache. Some have worked hard at their day jobs. Others are searching for a job to sustain them. Some have poured into their families. Others dream of having a family. Some are starting something new. Others are finishing something old. They may not be us or look like us, but their stories are our stories, and their lives are our lives. And they remind us that we've all come from different places and situations. But there is one thing that isn't different about us. There's one area of common ground that we can't run away from. All of us, every single person gathered here today, is in desperate need of God. Whether we admit it or not, we all need God desperately. In our highs, in our lows, in our confusion and in our clarity, in our loneliness and our doubt, in our joys and in our sorrows, we're all in desperate need of God. And that's our common ground. That's our universal need. And that's why church is so beautiful. Because when a gathering of people is found at the intersection of diversity and desperation, well, you never know what God might do.
So I'm going to close the message in prayer, but then we had one announcement. Tim's going to come up and share after this briefly just a little bit about what's happening for them. We didn't get to that. So let me close this in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the church, that we can be part of this body, that you desire to have us engaged. You desire to have us invested. You desire to have us as part of it, and that we are needed, wanted, and that you have given us these gifts for your glory, to bless others, to advance your kingdom together. So Lord, help us to come each week and say, God, what do you have for me to do this week? What do you have for me to receive? What do you have for me to give this week? Lord, help us to grow in our interdependence on one another, to not be utterly independent or dependent, but to grow in giving and receiving from one another what you would have us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Tim, if you would come up and share with us.
Hello. So we were getting ready to go to Togo sometime in the fall here. My wife's taking a board exam in November. And so when Wen and I were John were in Chad, my wife and I made a stop in Togo, and they said, well, your house won't really be ready in September like we thought. And so we said, well, we could wait till November since Wen's taking a board exam. They said, that'll be good. And then in the last several weeks, maybe a month, they said, well, your house really kind of won't be ready. We don't have anybody to work on it. We gutted it, but we don't have anybody to work on it. So maybe the first of the year, and we were like, oh, geez. And they said, can you find builders to work on it? And I was like, well, I'm a doctor. I've never looked for builders. So I looked for some builders, and I found two guys up in Minnesota who don't know each other. And then a neighbor of mine up at Beulah Beach said he would go. And then my cousin, who's retired from the military and said he's kind of twiddling his thumbs a lot and wants to do something. So us five are going to go November 13th to like December 3rd to work on it. So hopefully we'll get it done. So if you could pray that a lot will get done, because, I'm just going as a scut monkey, as we say in the medical field. So I have no clue what I'm doing. And they have a lot of questions about stuff, which, you know, they're used to high-tech stuff, so they've never been overseas, so I don't know what to tell them as far as what will be there. But two of them are still raising money, so you can pray about that, because the whole trip will probably be about $8,000 or $9,000, so that was a little frustrating to me. So, I'll be okay, and my cousin, who's in the military, he said he'd be okay. And one of the other builders raised his money, but two of the guys weren't able to raise anything. So if you could pray about that. But hopefully then they can finish whatever we don't get done in December, and it'll still be like January 1st. So whether I bring builders or not, they said it'd be, So I'm just worried if I don't bring some builders myself, it won't be January 1st. It'll be like, Valentine's Day, or keep getting pushed back or something. So anyway, so that's where we're at right now.
So now we're entering the second half of our service. We now go to Circle Church. Our group is the visitors group today, so if you came and you're not attached, you're welcome to come to that. We meet out in the exterior building out there on the left side, left room on that. If you have children, please remember a fifth grade or younger, check them into Sunday school. If you have teens, they are welcome to go upstairs to the teen group. And any young adults, if you're in your 20s or something like that, you're welcome to go. Samuel is running a young adults group out in the right side of the exterior building, so you're welcome to join them out there. So feel free to grab some more coffee or tea or whatever and make your way to Circle Church now. Thank you.